We live in the instant culture, are we not? Instead of oven cooking, we have a microwave cooking. And I am not a good cook by any long shot. As a matter of fact, I'm a horrible cook. I know how to boil water. That's about as far as it goes. However, I'm decent with a barbecuing steak. And I'm an expert in using microwave. Because I just know how to reheat that thing. Here's a cooking tip for using microwave. Before you put the leftover, sprinkle some water. Some of your ladies are laughing. It is true. When you do that, the water on the top keeps the food moist while it's going on, and it's keeping it from the drying up. No extra charge for the cooking tip when you're using microwave. What's that got to do with the teaching? I'm getting there. Since we want everything instantly, we don't like to wait on anything or anyone. Can I hear amen? Paul Ostrowski talked about patience. Guess what? We are going to talk about waiting on God. That we don't like to hear. Because the Lord knows that we are impatient, one of His most important curriculums is waiting on God. Let's be honest. Don't you want the Lord answer your prayer request on the spot? As a matter of fact, to be really honest, we want that thing to be answered before we even say it. How about being impatient? That is our mindset. This morning we are going to meet several people who wait on the Lord for a long time. And they were glad when they were answered. And they met the Lord in person. At the same time, there were people who did not wait on the Lord. As a matter of fact, they could care less if there was God standing in front of them, much like the majority of people in this world. We'll start at the verse 21 of chapter 2, book of Luke, and we will stop and pray. Father, your word said, perseverance builds character, and character brings hope. Hope in you. We don't want a bunch of wishful thinkings, wishful thoughts, and wishful desires, but we want the hope in Jesus Christ. That is solid rock. Father, speak to our heart that we may know your heart and learn to waiting on you. Oh, we are so impatient, Lord. While we wait on you, we learn your heart. We get to know about you. We get to know of your character so that we may mimic you, be more like Jesus, being transformed into His image. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we pray for our President Obama, whatever it takes for him to come to know Christ. And we pray for our soldiers, especially the one being dispatched to the harm's way. Father, you protect them. You're willing. You bring them back to their families, to their friends, safe and sound. We also pray for our military personnel and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Keep them safe, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 21. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Jesus was born a Jew, and as a Jew, he was subject to the commandment he created during the Old Testament time, known as the Mosaic Law. But he redeemed us from the law's judgment, and not by getting rid of the law, but by fulfilling its demand. Keep your finger on Luke. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, please. This is what Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Do not think that I," that is Jesus, "came to destroy the law of prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what?" Say with me, fulfill. Good. Now, as any new parents, Joseph and Mary had to observe the three ceremonies as Jews according to the law of Moses. Let's look at them one at a time. Number one, first ceremony, circumcision. Every Jewish boy was circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. And you may say, why eighth day? According to doctors, later they found out that eighth day, the newborn infant baby has the best capability to be healed. Wouldn't you know? And the eighth day after birth. So sacred was that the ceremony that could be carried out even on the Sabbath. Nothing can be done unless it's absolutely essential. But this circumcision ceremony will be done. Second ceremony they have to do is a redemption of the firstborn. According to Exodus 13:2, every firstborn of male, both human as well as cattle, animals, they always have to be dedicated to the God. And the ceremony called the redemption of the firstborn. It cost parents 5 shekels to redeem their son or animal from God. And that sum had to be paid to the priest. Third ceremony is a purification after childbirth. When a woman had born a child, if it's a boy, it's 40 days. If it's a lady, for 80 days, she is, according to the law of Moses, she is impure. Don't look at me. Don't even talk to me about it because I didn't write the law of Moses. It's God's law for the Jews. She could go about the household thing, but she, according to the law of Moses, she is impure. She cannot participate in the temple ceremony. So she had to wait on that during the time, and according to Leviticus chapter 12. At the end of that time, she had to bring the temple a lamb for a burnt offering and young pigeon for a sin offering. That was somewhat expensive sacrifice for the general public, so that the law also allowed another option. If she could not afford the lamb, she might bring another pigeon. This offering of 2 pigeons instead of a lamb and a pigeon is technically called the offering of the poor. From the offering, Joseph and Mary brought 2 young pigeons. You can tell this couple are not rich people. But the Word of Faith movement, the teacher, said, Joseph was a very rich person because he was a carpenter. I don't know where they get that idea. The reason why they said it is so they can get the money out from their followers' pocket. What Joseph and Mary did not realize that is, when they brought the little baby Jesus to the temple for the purification of the ceremony, though they did not have a lamb to sacrifice because of their poverty, they brought the perfect Lamb of God. One more important thing we must go over before next one. If you have if you've been attending our church for some time, we don't do the baby baptism. Instead, we do the baby dedication. We don't do a baby baptism because the baby does not have a consciousness yet to say, yes, I will follow Jesus Christ. I identify myself to die with Christ, merging into the water. And I come out from the water, I identify myself with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That baby, that baptism is all due respect if you have done that to yourself or out of your children, your grandchildren. It's nothing more than for the religious mind of the parents or grandparents. Are you with me? What we do here is baby dedication according to this verse. We're simply lifting up the child and we actually pray for the parents. They may raise the child according to God's way so that the child come to know Christ at young age, that he or she may walk with the Lord for the rest of their lives. We want to do what is right in the sight of God, not what according to the church tradition. All right, let's go to verse 25. While we're going to see the Simeon who waited on God's salvation. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Note that word, please. Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, and to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arm and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for the sign which will be spoken against, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. Isn't that the truth? The mass of people swarming through the temple like any other day. But Jesus was just another baby nestled in the arms of a young mother. No one would notice except Simeon, who was guided by the Holy Spirit. Like a prophet of the Old Testament, Simeon was uniquely appointed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came upon him to meet the Savior in the temple. During this period, the scripture was under the formation. In other words, it was not completed. And so prophet would know by the dream or vision. How did Simeon recognize the infant as the promised Savior? I don't know. Nobody knows. But as he was passing by, guided by the Holy Spirit, maybe little Jesus, baby Jesus' face shone through the infant blanket. And immediately Holy Spirit spoke to him, that's him. So Simeon took baby Jesus in his grandfatherly arms and sang a beautiful song of blessing to the Lord and to the people of Israel. And he also gave a bone-chilling warning to the young mother. The prophecy must have sent a shiver down to Mary's spine. Wouldn't you, ladies? If someone tells you this child will pierce your soul. And you would think that you would just scoop that child, run away, far away from the people, and protect that child. Wonder. This is my opinion. As she was standing below the bloodstained cross, looking up the her precious son, whose life is slipping away from him, probably she was remembering the Simeon's word. This will pierce your soul. There is another person who waited on the Lord for a long time. Her name is Anna. We find her at verse 36. Now there was one, Anna, prophetess, daughter of the Phineol, the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and had lived with a husband, 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for the redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, that they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Stop there. Anna had endured her own heart-piercing experience. When she was young, still she lost her husband only 8 years after the marriage. She remained with the Lord with a devotion. Over the years of working in the temple, she learned to recognize God's voice. When the Lord spoke to her heart, "This is the one, you will find the redemption through him." She knew this child was special. Then we meet very familiar people, wise men. Go to Matthew chapter 2, please. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his stars in the east and have come to worship him." You know, there are a lot of misconceptions, legend, plentiful. There are a lot of misconceptions and legend when it comes to the wise men. They were magi, oriental astrologers, who studied the stars and sought to understand the time and the meaning. They were Gentiles, but specially chosen by God to do homage to the Messiah. They were not just three. I'm going to explain a little more later. Probably great company of the people came from the Babylon. These wise men probably had been alerted to the prophetic significance of their time by the prophecy of Daniel and other Old Testament prophecies. And you may say, why Daniel and other Old Testament prophecies? Remember, where was Daniel? Babylon. So they know Daniel, the Jew, very well. And then his prophecy came through. The bottom line is that they received the guidance from the Lord and what? Obeyed it. That's the key thing, folks. It doesn't matter, even if you know the entire Bible, if you don't obey it. Satan can quote this thing backward in Greek, in Hebrew. What does it do any good for him? Because he doesn't obey. Are you with me on that? Don't boast about Bible knowledge, but boast about Jesus Christ whom you follow. You know, some people use this verse, verse 2, for their excuse reading horoscope in the newspaper or the online. It's nothing more than a just dumb excuse. Let me make it very simple and plain to you. Horoscope is from the devil, not from God. And you may say, why? Because the horoscope is divided by the 12 different years. And you may say, how do you know? You're from Sweden. Really, I'm from South Korea. I was born and lived in that culture with this kind of horoscope thing. It's pure demonic. Are you with me? If you are born again Christian, you should not have anything to do with the horoscope. Stay far away from it. It's a demonic. You understand me? Do I need to make it more simpler for you? All right. The wise men's experience was a good lesson for us to finding the will of God. Number one, they followed the light God gave them. Second step, they confirmed their step by the word of God. They didn't go by their feeling. Third step, they what? Obeyed. Say it with me. They obeyed. They obeyed God without a question, and He led them each step of the way. Now we're going to meet the people who didn't wait on God. Verse 3. When the Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, guess what they said? In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruler of Judah. And for out of you shall come the ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them that what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child. Note the word young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. There's a parenthesis with an X. He had a different agenda. Whenever Herod got in trouble in his heart, people in Israel had a trouble because they knew that when he has a problem, somebody's head's going to roll. Because this man with the arrogance and insecurity, he was, I was told, according to Bible scholars, he was less than 5 feet tall. As soon as I read that, it's like, oh, Danny DeVito. With insecurity and has an axe in his hand. Not a good combination. His insecurity is working overtime and grinding an axe. Sadly, this religious expert had the right information. Quoting Micah 5:2, but they personally are not interested in meeting the Messiah for themselves, just like many religious people today. Because they rely on their religion for their eternal salvation more than the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. On the contrary to the wise men who traveled a long distance to seek the King of the Jews, these religious leaders would not even travel from the Jerusalem to Bethlehem, only 5 mile distance. You could walk and get there at the end of the day, even if you walk slowly. The wise men were both hearers and doers of the word. Are you with me on that? God bypassed proud Jerusalem and chose humble Bethlehem. And you may say, why Bethlehem? Because David's place was Bethlehem. And Jesus Christ had to be in the lineage of the King David. The wise men went out of their way to find the truth and show their homage to the King of the Jews. I often feel sorry for those who do not go out of their ways to seek the truth. On Sunday morning, oh, I don't feel good. I'm not going to go to church. Oh, guess what? There's a football game. I'm not going to go to church. What's the matter? Can't you record it? And if there's any excuse, they would look for excuse to not to go to church. Am I trying to have a high attendance so that you can fill the pews? No. Thousand times no. I want you to seek the truth. I want you to seek God so that you may have a rich relationship with Him. That's every pastor's desire, and it should be. Not for Calvary Chapel, certainly not for me. And people rather come up with an excuse. I'm not missing it. You are the one who's missing it if you come up with an excuse. Are you with me? Satan had no idea how God's going to pull this salvation thing. When he was kicked out of from the Garden of Eden, after he tempted Adam and Eve, and he couldn't figure it out. He was following the Old Testament prophets, and he listening to all of them. He couldn't figure it out. But then, all of a sudden, he heard the wise men said, there's a child, the Messiah, is born. Oh, really? Let me kill that child, that he'll never become a Messiah. What a great concept. He was using little snitchy Herod to kill the Messiah. And he's doing the same thing, killing more children in under the name of abortion. I said this before. I said many more times. It's not woman's right. It's the children's survival. It's their life. All right. Oh, what the heck? I'm going to go back to the soapbox. Since we are in the campaigning mode and we're getting all these things in the mail, if you vote for anyone who supports abortion, you are supporting abortion. Do you understand? And some people will say, you cannot say that kind of thing from the pulpit. Oh, yes, I can. And the IRS can come after me all they want. I will say it again. If you vote for the one who supports abortion, you are supporting abortion. Killing children. There's no other way to say it. Okay, I'm off. Verse 9, Matthew chapter 2. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Again, child, not baby. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And they had come to the house, and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they, when they had opened their treasures, and they presented the gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. Note the word another way. The idea that was three wise men comes from the fact that there were three gifts. How do you know they didn't all chip in and brought three gifts, right? As I said, it could be many people. Gold represents royalty and heavenly kingdom. Frankincense, representing priesthood and sweet fellowship with God. And myrrh, representing his death for our sins. In other words, that the Savior was born to destined to death from the beginning. More important than their gift is the fact that they worshipped child Jesus. It must have been a curious sight for the neighbors around the child Jesus' home in Nazareth. How would you like to wake up? You're just average Jacob, Mary, in Israel. And you wake up in the morning and there is a group of dignitary coming in with a convertible chariot with the Ferrari in the front, in the signal, and Cadillac symbol in the front, and all these bodyguards walking around with the talking to their loves like this, with the sunglasses, and they stop at their neighbor. What's in their neighbor? I don't know. Joseph, Mary, kid Jesus. And then in front of them, all these dignitaries bowing down to the ground and worshiping their child. Wouldn't you wonder what's going on? Oh, come on, don't look at me like you don't. Because on I-19, when there is a little bump, everybody's doing the crane neck while you're driving. And everybody's wondering what's going on. The event of this took place at least a year from Jesus' birth. How do I know? Reason number one. Joseph and Mary were living in a house, not in a stable at the inn. Reason number two, Jesus is referred to a child, not an infant. Reason number three. And some of you are thinking, who cares? You better care. Herod murdered all the male child 2 years and under. Reason number four. Joseph and Mary offer a pair of turtle dove and pigeons as they describe of the poor. If the wise man had just given them gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they had brought the lamb and young pigeon. And you may say, well, maybe they're trying to save money. They are not that kind of people. So this wise man's worship was also manifested in their obedience. When they are told, don't go to Herod and go to another way, they simply obey what the Lord told them. Do you know what I said? Please note that they went home another way. Anyone who comes to Jesus Christ will go home another way and be a new creature. Everyone go to home, depending on what you decide. Did you get that? When you die, someday you are going to die. You may think you are not going to die. To your surprise, you will die if the Lord tarries. If you are born again Christian, you will go to heaven. By your own choice, if you're not born again Christian, by your own choice, you will go to hell. That's your eternal home. The one who received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will go home in a different way. Not as an old sinful person like you and me, as we are, but we are new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, please. I'm almost done. You can go to Dennis a little bit later. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? Two applications. Number one, as we listen to God in His Word and obey Him, we will discover His goodness and power as we, what? Wait on Him. Bama, we have to wait. Yes, it's good for us. I'll tell you why. Second application. Time spent waiting on God is never, what? Wasted. Say it with me. Time spent waiting on God is never wasted. Romans chapter 5. If you close your Bible, open it back up. Come on. Just for that, I purposely put that thing on the last. Chapter 5, verse 3, please. Apostle Paul speaking, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character what? Hope. And you hope does not disappoint, and because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen and amen.